This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Many thanks to Karen Shelton. Fresh off another ACC title, four straight, 23 overall. She's done an incredible job, and that was some kind of tournament, like you said, Wes. The league loaded in field hockey, soccer we keep talking about, men's pairings are locked and loaded. We'll get in all that stuff later on as well. But the Olympic sports in this league are just tremendous. I mean, unbelievable. And right now, the ACC primed to be in the conversation. Is it possible? Is it possible this particular year, this crazy, unpredictable, upside-down year, is it possible the ACC can get two teams in the college football playoff?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go to the old All-State playoff predictor, shall we?
We shall.
I know you're excited about that. Yeah. Notre Dame, after the win over Clemson in double overtime on Saturday night, now has a 47% chance to make the college football playoff, right? And Clemson dropped from 70% to 45% after the loss. So, you know, let's be honest. You got two ACC teams in the immediate discussion. Now, I know the Associated Press poll is not necessarily a measuring stick,
no,
right?
It's not at all.
Well, think
it's
about it.
It's, no, hold on. Whoa.
I know.
It is irrelevant. Let me emphasize the word irrelevant. Irrelevant, what the AP says.
I know. I continue to remind folks that I know that the AP poll has nothing to do with the college football playoff. But at least for the time being, it's the public's forum, if you will. And two ACC teams are in the top four. I'll be honest with you, Pac. My concern yesterday was that Clemson would drop out of the four based on the double overtime game. And I know that's crazy talk.
It is.
But think about it, right? You know, now to see Clemson still in it makes a lot more sense. The other, by the way, John Clea, the Lexington Herald leader in Kentucky, voted Clemson over Notre Dame.
What?
In his AP poll.
How do you do that?
Being said, yeah.
How do you do that?
He did.
Oh,
John Clea did.
Nuts.
It's right here in the college poll tracker. He voted Alabama 1, Clemson 2, Notre Dame 3, Ohio State 4.
I mean, hey, we keep score, don't we? I mean, was it a great game? It was. Could have gone either way? Sure could. Double overtime. But somebody wins and somebody loses. I mean, we do keep score in this thing, all right?
I'm with you. I just pointed out that a guy still thought Clemson might be better than Notre Dame. And,
did he turn
and maybe John was accounting for the guys that weren't there.
Did he turn the game off with like 2.5 minutes to go and just went to sleep and said, oh, Clemson's up 71 a game. My vote's in. Is that what he did? I'm just asking.
Perhaps.
You can't do that.
Perhaps.
Sorry. I mean, we keep score. Those are two really good clubs. I didn't think Clemson would drop any further than four. I mean, you're going to put them behind A&M? Really? No, come on.
I'm with
Florida?
You. Hey,
even though the Gators got a big
on that
win.
Part. Yes, they did.
No.
Yes, they did.
But the bottom line is,
and now,
the bottom line is, Wes,
yeah.
Again, God willing that we can get 5 weeks, 6 weeks in here. Again, this is going to be interesting coming down the stretch from not only an injury standpoint, but more importantly, maybe a COVID standpoint, that we get these games in. But the ACC, for the first time, really does have a true conversation that, hey, you know what? It's certainly possible. Because Notre Dame, with their biggest win since 93, being undefeated, senior laden, Ian Book playing great offensive line, all that stuff, the signature win that he'd been just dying to have for decades upon decades upon decades, have now put themselves in a position to be at the table. Now, they're going to have a burden on, hey, there's a target on their chest which they haven't felt in a long, long time. And they're going to have to deal with that.
Sure.
Road trips to Boston College, North Carolina, Wake Forest. That's not a layup. Still got to win. But the Irish, and if Clemson can get healthy, that's a big if, they could play themselves into a conversation that, assuming we have a rematch, you could have two ACC teams really in the college football playoff. That is not crazy talk. That's not nuts.
No, it's not at all. And here's the other part. We were talking about this in the opening hour. The tentacles of it, the Clemson-Notre Dame rematch is fine. And people want to talk about what that possibility looks like. That's fine. But there are branches of that rematch, principally a school like Miami, a school like North Carolina, Wake Forest, who you just mentioned a moment ago. Miami's 9 in the poll. We don't know where they are in the CFP. We'll find out in a couple weeks. Miami has Saturday at Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech at home, at Wake Forest. Oh, by the way, North Carolina on December the 5th. So you can start to look at North Carolina and Miami as somebody that has a branch off this proverbial Clemson rematch with Notre Dame. You start looking at the Tigers at Virginia Tech. Yeah, I know the Hokies lost over the weekend, but still, Virginia Tech has a branch off a Clemson-Notre Dame rematch. That's the interesting part as the rest of the league, you know, because the Hokies have shown they're worthy, wouldn't you say, Pac? I mean, North Carolina has shown, if they can keep the switch on, that they're certainly formidable. Wake Forest has shown that they're willing to be a participant in spoiling that rematch as well. So the important thing to remember is while Notre Dame sits there undefeated and Clemson has one loss, I think the Tigers are still in really good shape if they can get to the rematch. Notre Dame has to get to the rematch as well with the zero. And that'll be interesting because if it's a 1-1, I'm not sure that potential exists. Do you, if we get to the rematch and both teams have a loss?
Yeah, I think there's a new pressure on Notre Dame with the win. Number one, not only to get, more importantly, to get to Charlotte. I think they're going to get to Charlotte unless they just have one of those moments, right? Because they really get a swing on the house. I mean, you just can't lose two, if you know what I mean. But Notre Dame's not thinking that way now. After what happened Saturday night, Notre Dame's now thinking, hey, we are in the conversation from the big picture. I mean, they've never thought of conference championships. Yep. They've never been in one until now. Yeah, they'd love to win one. But the object now is, hey, we want to get to be one of the four. And once you're one of the four, you got a chance to hopefully go WW and win a national title, which they haven't done since 1988. So I think there's a different pressure on the Irish. We'll see how they handle it down the stretch. Clemson's kind of been there, done that. They've become the standard now, being in the college football playoff the last 5 years. But now they've got a different pressure on them, knowing, hey, you know what? The mulligan, you lost it. Yeah, you played well despite all the things that were going on. You know what? As an L, you can't afford two L's. You get two L's, you're out. Two and you're through. So there's a different pressure on Clemson than what they've had in years past. And now there's a different pressure on Notre Dame. Now let's see how they handle it going down the stretch when you've got the North Carolinas, the Virginia Techs, the Wakes, and the Miami still sitting there with a chance, if some crazy stuff happens, if they can win out, to be in the conversation. So, again, like I said, it's great, great storylines for the league as we roll in here in the middle of November.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think the other part about it is that the league gets to go with these two schools, right, in terms of games of consequence. I think that helps the league. Oftentimes you get this, you know, 1-4 or whatever the matchup might be, and the rest of the league may not feel attached to it other than, oh, good for the league, right? Now, all of a sudden, we turn off that game. We pivot away from this great ball game that was played Saturday night, and I keep calling them tentacles or branches or whatever, but there are other teams that now find themselves part of the consequence, right? And I think that's good for the league too, Pac, and it's a stage, and you know this, this league has not found itself on very much.
No.
You know, you get the great game, the great team, but you don't have any kind of running mates with it, to use the term of the season, if you will. Now they've got running mates. Miami at 9, Carolina kind of hanging in there, Virginia Tech's potential. The emergence of Wake Forest here, and we'll go back to this a couple times, Boston College's emergence during the course of the season. You know, I don't know what happens Saturday at Chestnut Hill, but I know this, that team that comes running out of the tunnel for Jeff Hafley, they're going to play hard Saturday.
They're going to play
with an edge and an intensity. And Phil Jurkovec has a chance to write his own interesting story, doesn't he? Here comes his former school, the one he originally signed with from Pittsburgh, you know, out of high school and things like that. I mean, we can have a lot of fun with that broadcast and that ball game on Saturday. But the interesting part is the ACC goes to a spot it's never quite been to in terms of the national prominence and landscape because, as we've tried to say since August, this is why 2020 had to be played. From an ACC perspective, as you said so many times, this is why 2020 was so important to this league in football.
I said it in June and July that if we had no college football, the biggest loser would be the ACC because it just felt like this was an uptick year in the league from a depth standpoint. We know Clemson's been great, and we had no idea what was going to happen with Notre Dame until they joined the conference for 1 year probably only. But that added to the mix and intrigue. But the depth of the league is really good. And, you know, there's still some folks on the national narrative that haven't jumped on board, and that's fine, whatever. But you know what? As I said to some folks last week on radio, the Big Ten this year with Ohio State and everybody else felt like the ACC last year. We had Clemson and that's just, quite frankly, there just wasn't anybody else in the neighborhood. That's how the Big Ten feels this year. And when you see teams like Penn State at 0-3, Michigan and being mediocre again at 1-2, Nebraska 0-4. When your brand names aren't great and they're down and you've got one really good team, well, guess what? That's been the ACC lately, right? Because we keep talking about Miami, Florida State, Virginia Tech. Could somebody jump up and join Clemson in the mix? Now, you threw Notre Dame in this year, which was a Merry Christmas to us from that perspective. But the league's got quality depth. And like I keep making comparisons with the Big Ten, because the narrative about the Big Ten should be it's Ohio State and everybody else. I don't want to hear, hey, Indiana's a great story, but please. Northwestern's undefeated, please. Purdue's undefeated, whatever. You know, it's Ohio State and everybody else. That's what the ACC's been living with for the last couple years, and people on the national level have beaten it to death. Well, hey, if you're in the mood, go ahead, but it won't be beating the ACC to death, not this year.
Well, another perspective on this is, yes, Notre Dame is a football member in 2020 for the Atlantic Coast Conference. But this probably has to play out if we can get this thing down the line a little bit in terms of the emergence of these other schools and the continuity of these other programs. Mark, it's got a chance to have more of a carryover effect into 21 than maybe a few years ago, you know, when Clemson beat Alabama for the national title out in Santa Clara or – when they beat them in Tampa, rather. When Clemson beat Alabama and Tampa in early January, it wasn't until like the next June after that that everybody nationally went, well, you know, the ACC was pretty good, right? And it seemingly the league got its due for about, what, 45 days prior to the start of the next season? Well, this feels like it's got a little bit more staying power. If you can keep Miami in the top 10, if you can maybe bring one or two more teams into the top 25 before the close of the year. And that volatility of other leagues, Big 10, Big 12, Pac-12, even to a degree the SEC, right? You've got a possibility of taking 3 to 5 teams in the top 25. And I remember that's where we started kind of at the front end a year ago, right? Hoping that we might get 4 teams in the top 25 at some point. I mean, continuity-wise. I hope that's kind of where this league has a chance to shine before we get to the end of the regular season in December.
Well, let me just show you how weird the year is. All right, I'm going to use this afternoon on Sirius XM on off campus, so you're going to give you a little sneak preview of the radio show.
Today, a tease, as it were.
Well, this is a bar bet tease is what this is, but I'm going to give you a little dose of it here on television before we rock it this afternoon. This is where we are in 2020. We are heading to the middle of November, okay? This is a college – this is not an ACC statement. It's more of a college football statement. We're now heading to the middle of November. I'm going to give you teams like – just listen to the brand names I'm going to give you. Michigan, Penn State, Nebraska, Florida State, LSU, Tennessee. I mean, those are 6 incredible brand names. Michigan, Penn State, Nebraska, Florida State, LSU, Tennessee. Right now, all of them – are currently unranked and have a combined record of 7-19. 7 wins and 19 losses. We are now heading to the middle of November. And I'm going to give you names such as Indiana, Northwestern, Coastal Carolina, Liberty, and Marshall. All of them are ranked, and their combined record is 26-0. That, my friends, is called 2020 college football. Michigan, Penn State, Nebraska, Florida State, LSU, Tennessee, can't find them ranked, 7-19. Indiana, Northwestern, Coastal, Liberty, and Marshall, all ranked in 26-0. Strap it on tight, boys. You just never know what you're going to get. College football never disappoints.
That's it. All right. Monday staple of this program, best and worst of the weekend. We have a long list of best. We have, unfortunately, a long list of worst as well. Oh, you know the Irish will be on this list. Is that best? That part, well, yeah. Stick around. Packer and Durham still to come till 10 o'clock.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday here on ACC Network. All right, we got to get right to it because the list is long. We're going to do best of, worst of, as we normally do on Mondays, and we start with some positivity. The best of the weekend, and as a matter of fact, Wes, we just had her on the show. Karen Shelton's going to lead the way here on this one, right? I mean, come on, 702 wins, all-time winningest coach ever, four consecutive ACC titles, 23 now total for the Heels in field hockey. They're an institution, man.
Yeah. By the way, have you noticed Erin Mattson, when she has the shot right there, she's able to kind of go wedge game on you, Pack? Wedge it up there in the top corner of the net sometimes.
She's got every shot. She's a trip to talk to. We loved having her on the show. Fun and obviously brilliant. And just to hear Coach talk about the leadership skills when things were not going well in the title game, that's all you need to know. She's a special, special player. And Karen Shelton, truly one of the all-time great coaches.
Yep. So congratulations to Coach Shelton, the all-time winningest coach in NCAA field hockey. Notre Dame. Form says Notre Dame gets its biggest win this century. Can't argue that. More on this in a moment. But the Irish, the victory against Clemson, Pack, you're right. I think you got to go back, 27 years to when they beat Florida State?
Yeah, 93. I mean, when you beat number one, I mean, you know, there's not many folks have a list when how many times have you beaten a number one ranked team. Notre Dame's got a list. But that list has not been added on since 93, which was another fantastic game with Florida State and Notre Dame. This is no question, this is the biggest win since 93. I just happened to write this century just to keep things short and sweet.
Yeah, you're right. Also on the list, you talk about tough guys, right? We usually talk about tough guys, guys with big hits and linemen and things like that. Well, number eight for the Pitt Panthers, Kenny Pickett, the quarterback. This is a tough guy right here, Pack, because I wasn't sure Wednesday when we got word he was practicing. And I thought it was thin, the chances he would play Saturday. So we found out Saturday morning he was playing. Ooh. He ate a bowl of nails for breakfast and used battery acid as milk, in my opinion.
Wow, that's tough. That's like, you know what? You know what might have been tougher? Wearing one of the hats like
Don't
this right
start.
Here, Wes.
No.
And loading up on some chicken sticks.
Don't even start. I just want you to know what's coming in about 20 minutes, baby. American goodness in the candy corner is coming in 20 minutes right here on this show.
That's tough.
Quality America. Don't you spoil. Do not spoil. Don't spoil my chicken sticks. Don't do it.
Yeah, I've got something for you coming up at 9:45. Don't you worry about it. I got all something, right. And it goes long. It's goes a lot deeper than a chicken stick hat. I got news for you.
Yep.
Chicken stick. You know what's cool about the chicken stick hat? Real quick, I got a perfect place for it. I put it right here on our Emmy that we won last year.
On the Emmy.
Yeah.
Right on there. The Emmy. I love it. Oh, that's awesome. All right. DJ Ui Angalale.
Pretty good.
439 in an L. My goodness, has he put on a show in 2 weeks.
I thought Notre Dame would confuse him.
Nope. Wes,
the fact he had zero INTs and he's throwing these darts, I'd say the future is pretty bright for this dude right here.
Oh,
huh? Goodness
man,
gracious.
Tell me. Yep. Mac Brown, congratulations. Your best of the weekend. 10 straight victories against Duke.
Yep.
And the Tar Heels made it look easy early at Wallace Wade.
Yeah, 10 straight against Duke, but the first time ever. By the way, that's Michael Carter and Michael Carter right there. You might hear about that later on. But I believe this is the first time Mac Brown has won the Food Lion Cup, though. I believe this is number one for Coach. First Food Lion Cup. I mean, the victory bell's nice, but you know what? That victory bell's going back and forth. There's only, you know, Mac's got his fingerprints on the Food Lion Cup. Nobody's ever had that thing before.
Food Lion Cup. That's right. Yeah. In fact, none of us have had our hands on the Food Lion Cup.
Never seen it.
De'Aaron King. De'Aaron King is on this list. 430 yards, ran for another 105 pack on Friday night.
It was just a fun game, back and forth. Great comeback. NC State had him on the ropes, all that great stuff. And Miami said, no, 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 man. We're top 10 for a reason. And that dude right there, QB1, is a really, really talented.
86% of their offense on Friday night ran through number one.
Good man.
Think about that. 86% of everything they did. Jordan Addison making a hard charge to be the ACC Offensive Rookie of the Year. 11 catches against Florida State. Leads the ACC now. He has taken the lead from Billy Kemp of Virginia.
Well, you know what's going to help? Is that Kenny Pickett's back at quarterback, because now they can actually get him the football.
Sure. Wow. Really?
I'm being honest with you. Just look at the numbers.
Wow.
I mean, hey, the offense,
gotcha. I hear you.
The offense dropped about 200 yards a game. Pickett's back. They've had a hard time running it, so it's just sling it all over the yard. And guess what? That's how you're going to play. And guess what? Jordan can catch it, dude. That dude is going to be a great player.
You know what else is going to help Jordan Addison? More offensive chances in ball games. You know why that's going to happen? Because of these guys. Pitt had 7 sacks. Oh, that's Deslin Alexandra. There's Patrick Jones II. What was Patrick Jones's line on this show? What was the show? What was the line?
Business.
Everything's subject to change.
Yeah, everything's subject to change.
Yeah, well, there's a lot subject to change when there's Rashad Weaver, by the way.
They got some dudes.
That brace on the arm, by the way, is supposed to make you think that he might not be able to go, and he goes hard every snap. They're fun to watch now. Jordan Travis scored a rushing touchdown for the 5th straight time, and this right here, folks, is history. Longest rushing score for a quarterback in Florida State history. You see Mike Norvell waving him down the sideline, by the way, Pack.
Yeah.
I don't know if this angle will show it. The Florida State head coach with a nice little, there he goes, yeah.
Yep.
There it is, right there. Mike Norvell helping him down the line.
You know, well, as I mentioned this to you earlier, getting off to a good start hasn't seemingly been a problem for the Noles. You know, we've kind of seen that. We've seen this movie so many times where they get off to a nice lead. Things are good. Things are clicking.
Yep.
And I gave you the stat. I mean, the last 3 games Florida State has played, they've scored a grand total of 2 points in the second half. And if you take out the Jacksonville State game, the other 6 games that they've played, the Noles have scored a grand total of 18 points in the second half for the year. 18. That's almost hard to do.
Yeah. I'm with you. Florida State, by the way, is headed to Raleigh for a Saturday night game. And when they get to Carter-Finley Stadium, they might not want to kick it to number 7.
Mm-mm.
because Bam Knight is on the best of the weekend.
He gone.
And there are eligible tacklers around him, by the way.
I know by, I guess the technicality is it's 100 yards, but it really was longer than that. Just saying.
Yeah. NFL will tell you it's longer than 100.
Yeah. Yeah.
College game stops at 100.
I know. But it was actually longer than that. He could have run to
you
Durham.
You want to get discretionary yardage into it.
He could have run to Durham and not get
he's
tackled.
He's actually running east, so it might be Nightdale or, you know, one of those. Wendell, Clayton. Garner, Joe Giglio watching the show. He might have been running to Garner.
Yeah, Joe's asleep. All right. Kidding me. He's 9:27. He's sound asleep.
Carolina on Saturday also went 4-for-4 on fourth down, Pack.
Yeah. Foe for foe, right? Oh, Moses Malone. Foe, foe, foe.
Moses Malone, that's right.
That's what it was. That's why I put it on the list. Moses Malone.
Foe, foe, foe.
Foe, foe, foe. 4-for-4 on fourth down for the Heels.
That's right.
Oh, here it is.
Yep.
How many times you can see him in the end zone,
Javonte
dude?
Williams.
Golly.
Wow.
All day. All day long.
Look at this. Here's Michael Carter. Yep. All right. Last one on best of the weekend before we get to the break. Notre Dame teams are 23-0 at home against the ACC.
Yep. Perfect. 23 up, 23 down. I mean, not only they won 23 in a row at home, which is the second longest win streak in the country, they're now a perfect 23-0 as a ranked team taking on anybody from the Atlantic Coast Conference in South Bend.
That's it.
Can't get any better than that.
So, no, sir. Not at all. Worst of the weekend comes up next. But first, a quick reminder to you that the ACC Women's Soccer Championship starts Tuesday right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. Quarterfinals start at 12:30. Look at all the numbers next to the teams. This is worth an investment of your time here. Really, really good soccer. Women's quarters, you see the top seeds, Florida State, the 2-seed Carolina, 3-seed Virginia. All at the Wake Med Soccer Park in Cary, and our coverage starts right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. All right, we'll go from good to bad when we come back. Oh, bless his heart. Oh, my goodness. Worst of the weekend. Oh, and man, Malik Williams. Bless. Whoa, Packer.
Evil twin.
We got some golf pictures of Pack. We got some golf pictures of Mark when we come back, too, on this show.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday, right here on ACC Network. All right, we gave you the good stuff, right? The positives.
Yep.
That's right. We've always been transparent on this show. And now we unfortunately have to give you the downside. There were some negatives from the weekend. And, Wes, as I mentioned to you, the biggest surprise to me, this is just a personal opinion, the biggest surprise of the Notre Dame-Clemson game Saturday night was Clemson's inability to run the ball. Notre Dame's defensive front did a number on the Clemson O-line. And that dude right there, number 9, could not get free. There was nowhere to go. 34 yards on 33 rushing attempts. That will not get it done, period. So that's something the Tigers got to deal with one way or the other moving forward. But, man, Notre Dame's defensive line just totally controlled this whole deal.
No, I'm with you on that, Mark. I think that it's I thought it was a tone setter by Notre Dame, and it was a collaborative effort too. Just wasn't one or two. I mean, the safety stuff in the box with Kyle Hamilton, the perimeter pressure. They had a game plan almost seemingly that Clemson might win the game, but it wasn't going to be Travis Etienne that beat them.
Yeah, and, hey, it makes sense if you can do it. Again, it's one thing to come up with a plan. It's another thing to execute it. And, again, Notre Dame's execution on Saturday night on that front was out of sight. It was out of sight.
Yeah, it was, no doubt. I think one of my worst of the weekend is the last 90 seconds of regulation for Clemson. We hadn't seen the Tigers in that kind of mode, Mark. Usually they get to closing time and they've got an opportunity to close it and they'll close it. That did not happen on Saturday night. Don't know if it'll haunt Clemson. Don't think it will. Don't have any reason to believe it will. But that was, if you will, out of character for a Clemson team to give up that score, didn't you think?
See, I disagree with you on this. I know this is your this one was yours on this one. I thought I was going to pick one, I thought it was before the last 90 seconds when Clemson got off the field, controversial no call with the pass interference, but that's for another day. And they get the ball at midfield with 2.5 to go with the lead. I mean, you got the lead up 7. You've got momentum. Mm-hmm. Your defense just made a play. You got the ball. And I thought that was the missing that's the haunt where you basically ran 3 plays, ate up 22 seconds. ETN ran out of bounds, inexplicably stopping the clock. I don't know what the refs were doing in terms of the running of the clock, but that's beside the point, too. I thought Clemson really – I mean, that you get a first down, the game's over. Again, the biggest word in sports is if. If you get a first down, the game is over. To me, that's the one you look back and say, man, the game's right there. You've earned the right. You took the lead. You're behind all night. You took the lead. You make a stand. You got the ball. Midfield, 2.5 to go, up 7. Hey, you did nothing with that. Notre Dame knew you were going to run it. And you got very conservative and really kind of botched that entire possession to give Notre Dame the ability to go, 91 yards, whatever it was, with the +30. And again, Notre Dame made plays, but you had the chance to control the win and didn't.
And maybe the part about it for me was, I know Clemson had lost Turner, Landon Zanders, you lost your – Skalski did not play. Tyler Davis was obviously not of a – you got beat on a deep center throw. Right. Those are the other things too. You gave up deep center throws more than once in the ball game.
Right.
And at the end, you gave up another one.
Right.
That part to me was like, what's happened here all night? And you're going to let this happen one more time, and it's going to get to overtime, and then all bets are off.
That's why, Wes, in my opinion, the position that when you have the ball, you've got the ball, right? You're banged up on the D. We get all that. Everybody, hey, next man up. No excuses. You recruit well, so does Notre Dame. Now you got to make plays. But you are in control. You've got the ball, the lead, and Notre Dame's got to eat up timeouts. All you got to do is figure out a way to get a first down, and you take knees and go home. Say, hey, you know what? We got to get healthy and get better.
Yeah.
That, to me, was the missing whiff on the Clemson part. And ETN running out of bounds for a guy, again, he's done so many great things, but that was a big mistake because now the clock stops. Notre Dame used one timeout, 22-second possession, one timeout used, and Notre Dame got the ball back. That was a big whiff, no doubt.
Yeah. We'll see what happens, how the Tigers bounce back from it in a couple of weeks against Florida State. NC State, worst of the weekend. You got 4 straight losses against ranked teams when you score 40 or more.
That's crazy.
Who'd have ever thought this? Stat. That is a crazy stat.
Yeah,
it is.
And you play a ranked team to put 40 on the board, you're thinking, hey, we're going to win a couple of these, right? How about lose all 4?
Yep.
That is really almost impossible to do.
Yep. So Miami, a big road win, sets the table for the Canes and Hokies. Speaking of the Hokies, Virginia Tech, you knew you were going to be here. You've known since Saturday. The freeze the kicker, timeout. Whistle didn't blow till after the kick. Jermaine Waller pits up the block, runs it back in, and they get another play. They throw an 8-yard out. They kick a field goal to win the game.
Ugh.
Yep, everybody's celebrating and all for naught.
I suspect that Justin Fuente has not slept since Friday night. That's just one of those you're like, oh, yeah, yay. How'd that get away from us?
Well, and in the end was probably worse than the beginning, and the beginning was pretty bad because, I tell you, one of the exciting players that's come on the scene in the ACC this fall is Khalil Herbert, and he was injured early in the ball game. I mean, you're going to see it right here. He's returning a kick and goes down and just not good. And Herbert's hurt, missed the remainder of the game. That's no good. You hope he can get back to play Saturday against Miami. Injury line, by the way, continues to evolve. And this one came up on Instagram over the weekend. Malik Williams announcing that he's going to miss up to 12 weeks with another foot injury. Pack.
Not
so
good.
Surgery for the Cards, big man. Yeah, that's a tough break for Chris Mack, who's going to have to kind of look inside of some young guys to help out for the Cards.
By the way, Wes, you think, again, I'm just asking out loud here. Do you think this week we finally get an ACC basketball schedule? I mean, we are closing in on two weeks.
Sure, why not?
I'm just saying. Let's hit the panic button here a little bit or just asking a question here in the basement.
We're
really 2.5 weeks from what is supposed to be the start of the college hoop season. I haven't seen a schedule. I'm just asking. Just asking.
It's all fluid, Pac. It's all fluid. Schedule's all fluid. There we go. Tough news coming out of Magnolia Lane.
Oh, I'm so disappointed in
Mark,
this.
Mark, whoa, wait a second.
My evil twin.
Mark, you're not playing at Augusta this week?
No, I'm busy. I put my ping hat up, and I will not be able to make it this weekend to Augusta. I found my green blazer in the closet, and it fits great, but I'm just not going to be able to make the dinner tomorrow
night.
Tell
me that's not pack.
Just not going to be able to make it. So, bummed out that
can we do a split screen again, Drew, Josh? Can we get a split screen of my man and Cabrera one more time just for fun?
Yeah,
is that possible?
Get Cabrera with his
so good.
Get Cabrera with his ping hat.
Chicka stick.
And I'll put my chicka stick hat on there.
Chicka stick. That's it. Look at that. Huh?
Bogey.
There they are, the evil twins.
Bogey. Double bogey. Pa.
I was looking so forward
pa.
To the reading of the car.
Pa.
Reading of the card.
Bogey. Bogey. Double tickle stick at the turn. Bogey. Double bogey.
Hey.
Triple bogey.
Just wait. Coming up at 9:45. The eating of the chicka stick.
Let me tell you something.
All right.
Just as another tease. I hold in this envelope.
A letter.
The tease for 9:45. That's all I'm going to tell you.
All right. also, worst of the weekend. The previous play is under review.
Goodness gracious.
The previous play is under further review. The ruling on the field is confirmed. Oh, I mean, come on, guys. Now, and I'm gonna say one little thing here, real quick. If you're hyped up about Saturday night in South Bend, Indiana, if you're feeling hyped up about Saturday night, Clemson, Notre Dame fans, college football fans, and I heard from a bunch of you, just remember, the guys on the field are one piece of it. There's the replay booth and the command center. So, not always the guys on the field. Replay booth, command center also play a role in that whole dynamic. Just saying.
I will go on the record for the 8 trillionth time. I despise replay.
I understand.
They still don't get it right. Not only does it slow the game down, it still isn't right. Tennis is the only sport that has figured out replay. When you can convince me a game in the NFL, a college football game, a college basketball game, whatever, baseball, can be as quick and definitive as it is in tennis, I'm all for it. Until then, until you figure it out, all you're going to do is waste my time. I'm surprised college football games don't last 5 hours at the pace we're going now with replay. Brutal.
Yeah. It was we got a little long on Saturday night.
It wasn't just Saturday night, it was Saturday.
Right. All day. No, it was all day. Yeah.
All day. Saturday.
All day. Yeah, it did. Yeah. Final note on worst of the weekend. Don't make it a November to remember for the wrong reason. Right? And I could cite several examples of this. Your team maybe got a big win. Now you're into November.
This is your item. You better be able to figure it out because I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't make it a November to remember for the wrong reason. University of Notre Dame. You may have. I don't think you did. Let's hope you didn't. But running on the field at the end of the game was just not good. Just not good at all. And now a letter's been issued by the university that before going home for break, every student will have to be tested. And if you don't show up for your test, you're in big trouble with Dean Vernon Wormer. So there you go. Don't make it a November to remember for the wrong reason. I was like, oh my God, they're storming the field. Couldn't believe it Saturday night.
Your head coach told you they're going to storm the field. He said, listen, he didn't say if we win. He said when we win. All right, so that was the mindset of Brian Kelly and his team. Yeah. And he told, I mean, Brian Kelly's crystal balled it and hit it right out of the park. He said, they're going to storm the field, so get out of here. Get inside. Get, you know, hey, you do what you got to do on all that stuff, right? I'm not going to get into the whole political thing because it was such a great football game to watch. But I'm sure it will be a topic this afternoon on radio.
So anyway, just thought I'd use that as part of the worst of the weekend. Tonight, by the way, on ACC Network, we will have a condensed version of the Cross Country Championships for you. And following that, by the way, Luke Hancock will join all ACC to talk about the loss of Malik Williams for Louisville, plus everything you need to know heading into the ACC Women's Soccer Tournament. All ACC is tonight at 8 Eastern right here on ACC Network. And when we come back on this program on a Monday, Mark Packer is going to talk about Chicka Sticks in a very derogatory fashion. No, I, however, not. Will not. I no, will hail I the greatness of American candy goodness when we come back. And also the men's soccer tournament bracket is next.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, the final segment on a Monday edition, show number 255 for folks keeping score. We have some unfinished business to attend to, though, Mr. Durham.
ACC Men's Soccer Championship, we told you, starts Thursday. We got it coming up. It starts next Sunday, I should say. The bracket is set after yesterday's close of the regular season. Pitt and Wake Forest are in the top seeds in the ACC Men's Soccer Championship. The women's tournament begins on this network later in the week. So congratulations to Pittsburgh. They're number one in the North, and they'll meet the fourth in the South, Duke. You see Wake is number one in the South. They'll meet the four in the North, Virginia. 15, 18, and 22 are the dates for the ACC Men's Soccer Championship on ACC Network and the championship on ESPNU, by the way, on the 22nd. So there you have it. Dogs barking this morning?
Yeah, there's signs of life. Chester's over here barking. I guess Mrs. P's going somewhere. I don't know what's happening. But Chester's barking and Fuller's one ear is up and maybe they can smell the Chicka Sticks going through the monitor. Maybe that's what it is.
Might be. Yep.
All right.
That's it. Chicka Stick. Yeah.
Wes, while you were busy getting ready for Pitt, Florida State, I received a care package. All right. And I know you did too. So I get this care package. And in the, of course, you know how I like letters. I get this letter from Mary Kate Flanagan. And if you're wondering, don't hurt your teeth. From Mary Kate Flanagan, who's the executive assistant to the president at Atkinson Candy Company. Hence, Chicka Stick, since we talked about it with Halloween. She says, hi, Mark. I spoke with Jim Daves yesterday. Now, Jim, of course, is up there at UVA. He does a great job for us. He says, after his email telling us about your show and Wes's fondness for Atkinson's Chicka Sticks, even ranking us as his number one Halloween candy favorite, We don't know how it could happen that you have never heard of our candy, but we're going to fix that now. Please enjoy this sample box and bit of swag with our compliments, and be sure to share with Chester and Fuller. We tucked in a special bandana for each of the guys. Now, here's the bandana, by the way. All right. It's got every candy that Atkinson Candy Company makes. Every candy on the bandana.
Pretty good. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And every piece of candy that they make was in the box, including your favorite, the Chicka Stick. All right?
Yeah.
And I will say I appreciate that. We got hats. We got swag. The dogs were happy. I even gave a Chicka Stick to both Chester Fuller and even Piper was here, too, this weekend. So they all got it. All right? So we appreciate that very much. That looks good on you, by the way.
Yeah.
Looks good on you. So yeah. We appreciate those Chicka guys stick. Hooking us up. Big time.
Yeah, there you go. Chicka Stick.
And by the way, and why wouldn't they be a natural fit and sponsor on our show? I mean, think about it. Atkinson Candy Company, ACC.
ACC.
Right? A natural fit. Natural fit for us on Packer and Durham. So I appreciate that a great
totally
deal.
Totally agree. Yeah. Tomorrow on this show, Javon McKinley of Notre Dame will join us.
Yeah.
Conference cuts as well. So we'll get to that. And a sad note yesterday morning, though, by the way, Pack. And I know you are a loyal Jeopardy viewer.
I have
enjoyed it for years, on and off. I'm not a nightly guy, but I know you watch Jeopardy on a regular basis.
Every night.
God bless Alex Trebek. What a marvelous life.
Awesome. 80 years. Man, he was a consummate pro, was great at what he did. People loved him. We knew that he was battling a terrible cancer and so forth, but I was really sad to hear that news yesterday. He was a legend. Guy was a legend. Been a tough year, man. 2020 has been brutal, really brutal. But that show comes on at 7 o'clock here in Charlotte. So as soon as the radio show ends, I literally walk up the steps. Mrs. P will have a dinner waiting on me, and Jeopardy's on. That's our deal. So from 7 to 7:30, it's all about Alex, and God rest his soul. He's incredible at what he did. And by the way, one other quick shout out before we get out of here. Congrats to Lamar Jackson. All right, Lamar Jackson, Louisville star, Heisman Trophy winner, 25-5 in his first 30 starts. That ties him with another guy from the ACC, if you will, Dan Marino from Pittsburgh, for a quarterback start. The best since 1966. How about that? Lamar Jackson, Dan Marino. Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yep, and a great Monday show. Thanks, as always, to Drew and Josh, Lauren and Lewis for keeping us going. Everybody on the back row, folks working with us in the bunkers. Eric McClain joined us, always on a Monday. Karen Shelton here as well. Congratulations to her in North Carolina on the field hockey championship. Javon McKinley, conference cuts, and a lot more tomorrow. Stay safe, everyone. Have a great day.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.